This is Eric Campbell. You can find me at ericcampbell.com.
This is Brian Walker with Image Armor Pretreatment and Inks.
Johnny Shell with SGIA.
Scott Fresner with T-Biz and Network International.
And you're listening to Two Regular Guys Podcast.
Podcast hosted by Terry Combs
and Aaron Montgomery.
If you're not listening, you're missing out.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. It is Friday, January 22nd, 2021. I'm Terry Combs, and you can find me at terrycombs.com.
And I'm Aaron Montgomery, and you can find me over at rsuccessgroup.com. Terry, today we're going to be talking with Matt Granados from Life Pulse, Inc. You guys probably remember Matt from back in November. He popped on before we announced the Reggie nominees, just for a couple minutes to kind of share what he's doing. We talked a little bit about his book, Motivate the Unmotivated. He taught me how to motivate you. And I'm still working on that. I'm still learning, but no, I'm just kidding. So it was a great conversation. So we're really excited to have Matt back. And we're going to dig a little deeper. We're going to dive a little deeper here. Now, Terry, you're potentially going to be in and out, or maybe just back and forth. You've had some, what's going on there in your neighborhood?
My good friend at Cox Cable have decided that Friday morning would be a great time to lay, to put new cable lines throughout my neighborhood. And so I thought I was in the clear because right up until 8 a.m. Mountain time, I was completely out, popped right in then. But in our pre-show, I dropped out a couple of times. Everyone, if I disappear, it's only because next week I'll have an internet connection.
All right. Well, hopefully it cleans up because it's actually a little spotty right now. I'm not sure if I'm the only one hearing that. Oh. Not, but we'll do our best. Terry, maybe we can get some news items out of you here real quick and see how we do.
Okay, well, we'll be wrapping up the 10 things we'd like to see in 2021 next week on Monday, January 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Also, congratulate our show producer Eric Campbell on his milestone day. He's hosting his 5th episode of the Take Up. Congratulations, persistence, and great content you put on Friday afternoons. Details and episode can be later in the show.
All right. So, like I said, guys, if you're hearing Terry, let me know. Like I said, I'm getting him in and out here a little bit. So, sorry about that, Terry. It definitely seems like it's struggling right now. So, in fact, there's a private chat. Let me check that. Cutting out massively. Okay. All right. Well, Terry, I'm gonna jump in. I'm gonna reread what you had there. Thank goodness we've got show notes. Thanks for that. And we'll have you smile and nod for a little bit here, Terry. There we go. I like it. So as Terry mentioned, if you heard a little bit of that, we'll be wrapping up the 10 things we'd like to see in 2021 next Monday, January 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So looking forward to doing that. Eric's gonna be back joining us on Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. For those of you that work in the central time zone, like myself, or the center of the universe, it's going to be 7 p.m. central time. So, all right. So yeah, everybody said Terry was breaking up a little bit. The other thing that Terry mentioned is we do want to congratulate our show producer, Eric, who just mentioned Eric Campbell and his milestone today. He's going to be hosting his 50th episode of The Take Up this afternoon. So congratulations, Eric, on the persistence and all the great content you're putting out on Friday afternoon. So we'll have more details about that coming up today, but you want to check out The Take Up. So just search for The Take Up on Facebook, or you can find it wherever Eric is located and go join him and the reciprocators, similar to the regulators like we have here at Two Regular Guys, but the reciprocators is Eric's crew. Anyways, the other news item that I've got here from the folks over at DAX, they said, in the interest of health and safety, they've opted to move the Kansas City and Minnesota shows to new dates, and they are optimistic for adequate national recovery for the Chicagoland show to be on its current date. So the new show dates for DAX are Chicagoland happening April 23rd through 24th, Kansas City happening July 9th through the 10th, and Minnesota happening August 3rd through the 4th. So make sure that if you had plans to attend any of those shows, that you start making those changes. And this year, if you're planning to go to any shows, our recommendation would be to make sure that you buy the flight insurance or the hotel, make sure you can change it up to 24 hours, all that kind of stuff. So just again, I think things are going to be a little fluid as we go forward here. So check that out. If you go to daxshow.com, Eric's got it at the bottom corner of the screen for those listening in live and watching us on the video here. The other thing to note here, Terry, February 4th, Equipment Zone is hosting the DTG Virtual Academy. It's a free event, and there will be the usual suspects from Equipment Zone speaking, like Terry and his cohorts over there. But you'll also get to hear from Ali Banholzer from Wear Your Spirit, Roger Burnett with Socially Good Promotions, Tim Check from and Matthew Rome from Epson, Dane Clement with Great Dane Graphics, Mel Lay from All Made Apparel, Adrian Palmer with Screenprint Magazine, Ken White with Cotton Heritage, and Paul, and I'm not going to get his last name right, Zingone from Vastex International. So check that out over at equipmentzone.com. All right, Terry. So you want to try the dad joke, or how do we want to do this?
Let me, can you hear me okay right now?
It's still a little spotty. So how about you? Maybe you can just give the punchline. How about that? All right. So, and this is from Terry. So Terry's been bringing the dad jokes, doing a fantastic job. And he's also getting a nice theme going. So this is a work from home joke. I like that. Very awesome. And let's see how we do here. So where do the keys on your keyboard go to have a good time, Terry?
Well, the answer is the space bar.
If you say it a whole bunch of times, we get it. All right. Well, wonderful dad joke. Good morning to everybody checking in. And I think we're getting there. So let's see here. We'll just check a couple comments from the regulators. Todd, morning. Rich, good morning. I know Missy was in earlier, and Jeff and Jim. And let's see how you do, Eric. Can you keep up? I'm just kidding. So thank you guys all for checking in here with us live this morning. Before we dive in, we do want to make sure that you are also checking out the podcast version of this show. You can do that over at tworegularguys.com. But also, we're always looking for new guests. We're always looking to expand the horizon. So if you or anyone you know would like to join us, you can send whoever you think should join us to calendly.com, or just let us know. But if you go to calendly.com/tworegularguys, you can put in all the information, find a date that works for you, and you know, give us your show ideas. So if you are listening to the podcast version, we'd appreciate that you share this with your friends so they can become regulators too. Also, if you would like to give us a review on any place that you listen to podcasts, we can be found on just about every podcast hosting place I can think of. So we got Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and we even recently got on board with the Amazon podcast. So try to get it all out there. And if you are watching us live right now, we'd appreciate you joining in with your comments and your questions. And make sure to reach out to your industry friends and friends in general. I think Matt brings this wealth of knowledge that is cross industry. So, you know, anybody that you think could gain from a little intention in their life, which is pretty much everybody in the world, reach out to them and let them know to come join us live. And we'll have Matt with us here in just a second. So before we do that, though, let's go ahead and hear a word from sponsor my company, our Success Group. Are you looking to move your business forward and make it a full-time success that not only supports you, but also can support your family? Todd Downing and I launched our Success Group. Our mission is to provide resources that empower business owners to achieve their idea of success. What we learned when Todd started his own decorating business, and I was a pioneer of the industry's first podcast, was people were hoarding all of the information, or it was just disorganized and had no basis in real results. Both Todd and I saw really nice people fail because they didn't have the basics and a foundation. We don't want you to struggle to launch or grow your business. We want you to thrive, hit the ground running, and be good citizens of your market. If you are interested in learning more and would like to get some free resources, just fill out the form over at oursuccessgroup.com/empower. That's empowered, EMPOWERED. All right. Well, love to have you check that out again over at oursuccessgroup.com/empowered and see what we're doing over at our success group. It's the community is growing every day and it's been fantastic. So we'd love to have more of you joining us at oursuccessgroup.com. All right. Well, Diane, good morning. Thanks for checking in. And Cal, good morning to you as well. So as you guys can see, Terry is still challenged with the internet issues over there. So hopefully they'll get that sorted out. But I'm going to go solo here because I'm excited to talk to Matt. So let's go ahead and bring in Matt. So over the last decade, Matt Granados has tested, developed, and helped thousands of others implement an effective and easy to duplicate system that will help you build an unbreakable foundation for your life, as well as motivate even the most unmotivated individuals in your life. With over 10 years and 10,000 hours of studying, using, and teaching these concepts, Matt is considered to be an expert on teaching individuals how to build an unbreakable foundation for themselves, as well as their organization, along with how to properly manage motivation. So welcome into the show, Matt. Let's get you in here. There we go, Matt. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Aaron?
I am doing great. So, yeah, sorry about the problems with Terry there, but, you know, you've got me.
hey, 2021.
That's
we'll figure everything out. As long as it doesn't have a 20 at the end of it, we're good.
Yeah, exactly. 2021, that just makes everything better, adding that one.
Absolutely.
So, actually, Matt, let's start there, actually, then, as we're talking about that. You know, I think before we came on the show, we were talking a little bit behind the scenes about the fact that maybe some people were sitting on their hands a little bit in 2020, kind of waiting for it to be over. You know, 2021's here. Did everything just change and become better, or what are successful people actually doing right now?
Yeah, they're realizing they need to continue to invest in themselves and grow. It's really what they're doing. I mean, all of the clients that have been waiting and waiting and waiting are now piling and piling on. So, you know, demand goes up, price goes up. So, you know, we're managing it the best we can, but it's a great issue for us to have right now. The unfortunate thing is it should have happened 6 months ago. And right now they're getting into it. So, you know, my only thought with all the listeners out there, if you're out there trying to make your business work, you got to make sure you're putting in the time, the effort, and if there's resources needed, wisely the resources that are needed. So, but I'm excited to be back. I'm very much happy. I love talking with you guys.
Yeah. Great. Great. Yeah. I mean, that sounds like, you know, I've seen that a lot too, where, like you said, people were like, oh, you know, I'm just going to wait for 2020 to be over. And then, but yeah, now they're trying to play catch up. They're challenged with having to pay more for things that they could have been doing. You know, so if you are in that spot, like Matt said, let's make sure that we're continuing to move ourselves forward. You know, there's no better time than the present, right? Is that how the saying goes?
Absolutely. So. And it's time to work. Money's still out there. People are still spending a lot. We just brought on a plumbing company, right? We have a lot of home service companies that we work with now up in Canada, and they have turned their entire business around. Obviously, they're very busy. People who have at-home businesses, the people you serve, are busy right now. And this is something we need to capitalize on and move forward with. So nothing builds momentum like momentum. So we need to continue it once it comes.
I like that. I love that. So, yeah, I mean, when you talk about, so maybe Matt, real quick, some of your clients that maybe you were working with through 2020 or that, like you said, you should have done this 6 months ago. I mean, I'm guessing you're seeing a noticeable difference for them though. They're much ahead of the game, right?
Yes. I mean, they're always as, I always tell people when I joke, I say the hardest step's always the next step. And as soon as you take it, you could be one step closer to the next step. And it's how we have to do things. We have to keep that mentality of, you know, it's, if I want to be there, I need to take a step towards it. And every day I don't take a step towards there, it's just one more day I'm going to have to wait to get there. So it doesn't mean to, you know, take stupid steps. It just means take steps and pay attention to it. And the ones who have done it, the ones who I've been working with all last year coming into 2021 aren't as excited about 2021 as everyone else is. They're also not as hurt as everyone else was in 2020 because we prepare for knowing that there's going to be a lot of unknown. So for everyone else who is excited because life was going good, stock market was going good, my clients were ready for a 20% drop because we're always keeping margin in everything that we do. So that's why they were steady financially. They were steady with their time, with their efforts, their energy. And obviously they've made it through. And when you make it through a downfall, you come up way higher than when you started.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right. Well, so regulators out there, if you guys have questions for Matt, make sure that you're putting them in the comments and we'll get those in front of Matt. But Matt, we were checking out your Facebook page. If people aren't following you over there, it's at Life Pulse Inc., right? Is where people can find you on Facebook. So we were kind of checking that out in preparation. And one of the things you talked about was the, and I'm not going to get this name right, probably, but I'll do my best. The Zeigarnik effect. Can you maybe explain that a little? Zeigarnik, thank you.
Yeah,
can you explain that to us?
Yeah, it's a philosophy more than an actual study, if that makes sense. Because it was studied, but basically a psychiatrist named Bluma was her first name. Bluma Zeigarnik recognized the fact that people were able to remember things that were incomplete better than things that were complete. And what it was, they were talking about servers at restaurants. This is back before we had systems with, you know, computers.
Tablet or whatever. Yeah.
when she was asking people in her restaurant, what is your, you know, what, who still has what order outstanding? If it was an unpaid bill, the waiters, for whatever reason, would remember that better than the ones that were fully paid. It's almost like once something's completed, it gets kind of put in your head and processed and pushed away. Yeah. So she started studying this for years. And what happened was, it became this reality that we as humans don't like things that aren't done to completion. And because of it, we think of it. So a great example is if I were to say, dun, 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 dun.
Yep.
Right.
I had to do it.
It's uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
We have to finish it with the two last notes and now we're good to go. Otherwise some of you, dun, dun, some of you are still bothered that I didn't do that. So we'll get that out of your head. Okay. So what we do with the Zeigarnik effect is we make sure that we do what we call PTT, which is plan tomorrow today. So that's why when you journal, that's why when you write stuff out, you basically bring it, even though you're not completing the task, you're completing the thought. And because of that, you can actually relax. And I don't want to say forget about it, but it's like your mind will put it where it needs to be, right? If you think of your brain like a bunch of filing cabinets, it's like our lives are stacks on top of the filing cabinets that if you just did stuff like what we teach in Life Pulse, and we teach in our book coming out, that you will be able to put your files in the filing cabinet. And it's much easier to use when the files are in the right place.
Yeah. Yeah. So would that be, you know, like the same kind of theory, if I was working on a task and I got interrupted midway through it or something like that, but then I don't have a chance to come back to it, I probably am not going to be as effective on the other things that I'm doing because I'm probably still thinking about that unfinished task, right?
Your brain is a big ball of energy. So if any energy is used in one spot, it's not going to be used as well in the other spot. A great example, I don't know if I talked about my daughter last time when we were on this call. I know you guys put an outline together and I never follow it, so I apologize.
That's okay. But no, you're totally fine. I haven't followed it yet either.
I know, this is the one regular guy show, right?
Yeah, everything's exactly.
Everything's different. My daughter has a very rare muscular issue. So she's in a wheelchair. And one thing I recognized is because her brain, which is a big ball of energy, doesn't tell her muscles to do what everyone else's muscles do. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of extra energy up there. So we are reusing that to learn how to code, play piano, do things with her hands. We're teaching her how to use her muscles through her brain. And we've even gotten her tested because we have to with the state. And she's testing physically at about the equivalent of about a 6-month-old, right? With her ability to use her muscles.
Sure.
Mentally at 3, a 6-year-old.
Oh, wow.
So she's twice her age mentally, which is a huge advantage when you talk about what's happening in 2021. And I kind of partially joke. I mean, as of right now, unless there's a medical miracle or research that's probably 30 or 40 years away, she's going to be in a wheelchair the majority of her life. Sure. And because of that, there couldn't be a better time, I guess, in history for someone to be physically disabled if they can mentally still be advantaged. And that's what we've been working on with her. So the reason why I went down kind of that little rabbit hole is we need to make sure that we're taking this ball of energy and actually using it properly. And if we're keeping energy on tasks that are kind of half done here, half done here, half done here, half done here, that energy is not going to come back for our use until it's complete. So that's why when you have tasks that are kind of keeping you up at night, put it down on a piece of paper. And I promise you, your brain will go, all right, we got it. It gets it out of your head on the paper. You're not going to forget it. You're not going to worry about it. And you can address it tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fantastic. You brought up the LP there, and I told you my wife uses it, and she's in a mastermind group that we put on through our success group. And she's actually got a couple of the ladies in that group using it as well. And the conversations around that whole idea of the brain dump, of getting it out and being able to, like you say, kind of close that loop. So then you can move on to other things is really powerful.
I agree.
All right, cool. So let's talk a little bit here about something else that I saw. You know, I love checking out your videos. You do these little quick hit videos. I mean, they're super short, which is fantastic because you put a lot of information in this short amount of time that you can bite on it, you can chew on it and think about it. But the one that spoke to me recently was when you talked about the grass being greener on the other side. Can you maybe explain that to folks that didn't get a chance to see that video yet?
Yeah, it's this whole philosophy. You all know it. The grass is greener, right?
Yep.
Hey, Missy, I appreciate that comment. Best planner I've ever used, and I'm planner whore. That's great.
Yeah, there you go. Do you have to put the part at the end? You know, kind of maybe.
Oh no, we're bolding that. And Missy, I'm sending you another planner. You're getting another one. That's the best comment I've ever gotten in a live thing. So anyway. What were we talking about?
Grass
is greener, right? So the grass is greener came to me because we all know the term, the grass is always greener on the other side. Yeah. And then we always get told, hey, don't worry about it. The grass is not as green. You know, the grass isn't greener on the other side, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And here's what I realized. My neighbor and I, we have the same type of land. We have the same grass. His looks really nice. Mine looks like I don't take care of it.
Yeah.
And so the grass is greener on the other side, but there is a reason why he takes better care of it. So when we're sitting there going like, oh man, but like, I just wish I had that marriage. Well, there's a reason that marriage is better than yours, right? And again, this is assuming that facade we're seeing is real, right? We're going to assume that this is a real thing. Yeah. Or, oh man, that other business over there, I'd much rather do that. I'd much rather be in that industry. The grass is only greener. Right. If it is even greener, right. The concept is the grass seems greener. The grass is only greener because it's taken care of properly. That's it. There is no better opportunity over there. It is just the situation that we're sitting in. And before we try to work on someone else's grass or find someone else's grass, I always suggest people, let's water ours first. Let's bring ours back to life. Yeah. Because otherwise, what am I going to do if I was to manage my neighbor's grass within a year? It will look like mine.
So you step up what you're doing inside of yours. And then, you know, I love that because I was able to kind of take that even one step further. I do have a similar situation where my neighbor's grass is fantastic. It always looks perfect. And I want mine to look like that, but yeah, I just don't. But I actually took it a step further. Okay. I wanted to step up my grass, manage it, you know, that kind of thing. And 2020 gave me a little more opportunity to do that, obviously. Yeah. But I also talked to him about what it is. So I learned, you know, that also, I think, brings a big part of this, you know. So you talked already about, you know, getting the resources that you need to grow. Yeah. Maybe explain that a little bit more. Let's dig a little deeper into that.
So here's let's dive even deeper to what you said, right? Because the next step is hearing what it is they're doing and wondering, am I willing to make that sacrifice? I'm not willing to do what my neighbor's willing to do to make his grass greener than mine. So therefore, I'm okay with the grass I have.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing people always wonder. It's like, oh, I just wish I had what they had. It's like, but do you know what they went through to get that? Yeah. Like I have some people like, I wish I had a number one international best-selling book. And I'm going, yeah, but do you understand what you would need to, like, not that I'm anything special, but it wasn't like I just kind of snapped my fingers and did that. Right. Yeah. You had to write it. And honestly, getting to the status is not as hard as just getting the book done. And that's where you run into the situation where, are you willing to make the sacrifices that were made in order to get the results that you say you want? And most people don't ask themselves that question. They just go, I just wish I had what Aaron had. I wish I had a successful podcast. And look, I do wish we had more people on our podcast. And I do wish our planner sold more. And I do wish we sold more books. But am I willing to make the sacrifices that some people have had to make to be an international speaker that's charging $50,000 a drop, right? Like, it takes certain things away in other parts of your life in order to get there. And for me, it's just not worth it every time.
Yeah. I love that. I love that digging didn't quite go that deep, and I like that. What are we willing to sacrifice to do that? That's a good thing to ponder and think about there for sure. And I think you can go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No, I'm sorry, you were asking about the resource. I derailed your question, so I apologize for that.
Oh, that's fine. We can go around in circles all day. I'm good.
but as far as it goes with finding the right resources, right? And this is what I just had a conversation with the client we brought on. All right. Now, this is a big client. So I know a lot of people who are listening to this have kind of smaller startup businesses. And we work with all sizes. So please don't be offended by this. But this individual it's a six-figure client for us, right? They're putting a lot of money into a quarter, 3 months of our work. And we're talking about things and we're going through how this works. And he's like, well, I don't know if it's worth, and we charge per person is how we charge what we do. I don't know if it's worth for this individual to charge this much money. And I said, look, I said, we need to find a direct correlation for an ROI to understand, is it worth doing, right? Yeah. So like, for example, what you guys offer is high value and it's really not that expensive, right? It's all, you know, when it comes to what you offer, look, I've seen a lot of stuff out there and it's a lot of garbage that's sold for a lot more money than what you guys do. You guys actually provide a valuable service at a reasonable price for your people to get a hold of. So what happens is we sit there and go, well, I don't know if it's really worth it.
Yeah.
And we stopped there versus let's see if it's worth it, right? How do I know investing in this individual is worth it? So what I do when I'm talking to clients is I say, look, how much does this individual impact on your bottom line? Oh, well, they have $1 million account. Okay. If I can tweak the needle a little bit, let me show you the ROI you're going to get on this.
Yeah.
And how did I learn how to do that? I did that myself. If I was going to work with Aaron, I would say, all right, Aaron, how much am I going to pay? Yeah. How will I know that I'm making my money back? That's not Aaron's job. That's not your job to tell me. That's my job as a consumer to recognize, is this worth my money? And a lot of times I'll have people who come through and they're like, all right, well, we really love working with you. How do we know that it's working? And I'll show them the ROI. We had one client who we brought from $300,000 a quarter to $650,000 the next quarter, not changing a single thing about the service they offer, the support they have, nothing. Just helping them go through being intentional about what they do. Another client had about a $1.5 million AR account that was 120 days out due, right? Accounts receivable for those who don't know what AR is. And what happens is they went in and within 90 days, and it's been out there for about a year, they collected, I think it was like $1.3 million while doing this. And it's not because what we do gives you more work to do. What we do is show you how to do what you're already doing, but do it faster, better, and smarter. So that's how it works with everything we do.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically look at what the investment side of it is. It's not that, you know, okay, then like you said, most of us see a number and that number goes up and we stop there, but we don't realize that, hey, maybe if you are able to invest in that number, whatever it is, that you could double or triple what you're doing just by being able to, you know, use those resources.
And you think of it as a regular investment, right? I don't know if you guys ever heard of this little thing called Bitcoin, but 10 years ago, Bitcoin was the biggest joke in the world. It wasn't worth anything, right? And if you had it, you were a fool. 5 years ago, if you had it at $20,000, you were a fool. Today, it's 40 grand. So you can't just take a dollar amount and say, is it worth $10? Is it worth $20? Is it worth $20,000? You have to see the ROI. If I give you $20,000 and then you give me back $25,000, was it worth it? And the obvious answer is yes. But we have to make sure we're comparing the value we're getting from the dollars we're spending, not just, hey, that dollar, it's way too high. I don't spend that much on anything. Well, then you're never going to be able to grow and see true value in whatever you're doing with the money you're earning.
Yeah. So Matt, taking that idea and let's turn this around for folks. I hear a lot in our industry, oh, I just can't charge that much, or my area is not willing to pay that.
Yeah.
How you've talked about helping your customers figure that out.
Yeah.
What's the method there?
All right. So there's two ways. Number one, all right, there's two stories of this. When I was 15, I started my first company, Explosive Entertainment, right? I was a DJ. I was
nice.
Best DJ in my basement, right? So I went out and that's how I paid my way through school. And I'll never forget the first time I charged someone like $100 to go do an event. And I remember it was like, how much he charged? I'm like, like 100. Like, it was like, I asked them a question. Right. And they were like, oh, perfect. We've been cornering at like 500. So this is great. We'll totally do it. I'm like, wait, what? Like, let me restart that. Right. So that was the first lesson. Then I charged 200 and 400 and then 500. And then I was charging it as in high school, $1,000 per 3-hour party. And I was still, when I would say it, they'd be like, all right, fine. They didn't care about the pricing. I was the one nervous about pricing. So anyone out there, if you need questions on pricing, send me a message directly. Go on to shoot us through social media at Life Pulse Inc. And I would love to kind of help you understand where your head is with it. And what it takes is making sure we're offering the value that we're charging. Don't think of it from dollar to dollar. Don't even compare it to your competitors, right? When you're, like I said, as you grow and you want to really get competitive, then you have to do some price comparison. But in reality, what is it you're offering? What is it you're going to charge? And what is it that they're going to get? I have programs that I charge people $10,000 a month for. They get more than $10,000 a month every single month in that value. How do I know? Because they pay me the next month and the next month and the next month and the next month. But I am making sure they're getting that ROI. So if you think what you do, then make sure you are actually getting what you are, what they're getting, what you're paying for. And I think we did talk about this last time about charging family and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
if you put stuff out there, just make sure it's good, right? Missy obviously bought one of our planners. I'm assuming she paid $34.99 for it. I want to make sure that she's getting $34.99 plus so that it's worth her to come back in 3 months and buy another planner. I just told her I'm going to send her one. So now she's going to be 6 months, right? So now you only need $15 worth of value. But you understand what I'm saying. It's a simple math equation to be able to understand what it is that we're doing. So don't worry about your pricing. And whatever you're charging, just make sure you're giving that value. You will stay in business if you do that. There's so many times that people talk to me and say, oh, man, you're just too expensive. And I said, well, if you think of it that way, then absolutely. However, if I'm able to take you and charge you, let's just say you're going at $2,500 a month with me, and I'm able to turn that $2,500 into an extra $10,000 a month, am I still too expensive? I think the obvious answer is no. So that's what we have to do. We have to recognize value to dollar, not dollar to dollar.
Gotcha. That's perfect. And I think, like you said in there, one of the big things I drew out of that too was the fact that you've got to believe that you are bringing that value. You've got to have that that belief in yourself, right? I mean, that's got to be a big part of it too.
Yep.
Okay, no, perfect. Okay, so Christine says, love this. Focus on the value you're offering and make sure it's worth what you charge. Just make sure you accurately judge the value of what you offer. A lot of people, at least in the garment decorating, undervalue what they offer. So yeah, we see that quite a bit. Okay. All right. Well, let's get back to talking a little bit about intentionality. And I know you're working on a new project. Maybe start by telling us a little bit about that new project. The intentional week, I believe, is what you had said. So tell us a little bit more about that first.
So where this came from was, all right, let me tell all of you as people who can consume this information and actually use it. Then I'm going to explain it from the business side as to why I did it. Does that sound good?
Perfect. So I love it.
First is the book. The book is called The Intentional Week. And it's a book. It's got probably 15 chapters in it, but it's also kind of a workbook. And what I found is it takes continual effort to stay intentional on a daily basis in order to do this. So with the book, we've created this thing that we call the I-90 Challenge, which obviously there's challenges all over the place, but feel free to go on our website and check it out. Or if you go onto Facebook and look up I-90 Intentional Challenge, you'll see it, join the group. And we'll send it over to you for free so you can go through the process. But the whole concept of the book itself is that you can't change your life in a week. However, you can change the weeks in your life and you will change your life. So it's all about recognizing what happens every single week and how to manage your week and maximize your week. So we walk through everything from using the LP. We walk through everything from how to get things going. And then here's the cool part. We then give you almost kind of like a devotional style workbook. Once a day, take this quick 10-minute thought and put it into your life. And we walk you through it three separate times. Okay. The first time, it's the same content, but different mindset, which is a big deal. The first time is me teaching you. The second time is me and you doing it together, right? How are we going to make this work for you? And the third time is for you to make sure that you're teaching somebody else. So you're going to go through the same content three separate times. And what will happen is at the end of the third time, you will not be able to be unintentional on the things you do on a weekly basis. And at that point, once you hit that, anything you want to do, as long as you can stay alive long enough, yeah, you can actually accomplish, because you're going to be taking the right steps towards it. So the real goal of the intentional week, it's the 6 days between. I plan on Sunday, and then I get back on Sunday and go, oh man, I wish I would have done what I said I was going to do. That's not how we do it. Plan on Sunday, hit Sunday, and then move over.
Okay. So that okay. So go back, share with us one more time, Matt, that you had the saying about a week, you can't change the week, or I didn't get that right, but that really stood out to me.
Yeah. So I always tell people, everything we do is on a weekly basis, right? So anyone who's coming in as a coaching client, we do a quarter, right? No matter what, I don't care if you're a Google working with us or you're a one-off person, one-on-one, having a conversation, right? We work on it specifically for this reason. We then take that quarter and we break that down into kind of monthly tasks and weekly tasks.
Okay.
Our method of success, we call it our structure of success, is quarterly review, monthly celebration, weekly planning, daily action. So let me jump into the weak spot. Yep. Weekly planning is because a week itself is what I call linear. You can actually move things throughout before you fail at the end of the week, right? Oh, Monday I got into an issue. I got in a car accident on Monday. So whatever I had to do on Monday, I just have to move to Tuesday. Doesn't mean the week's done. But if you're going day by day, you're going to lose. I promise you will always be let down if you go day by day. If you go month by month, it's too far. It's too long and you'll never get to it. A week has a perfect amount of flexibility and urgency to make you effective. So that's the week value. In the book, I go into why the week exists. Turns out there is absolutely no survival reason why the week exists. A day specifically is for moons come up, moons go down, sun comes up, sun comes down. There's a survival reason why humans recognize that. A month is when the moons move and they used it for direction, which is where the month came from. And then the year is for season, so they knew when to change different crops or move or be where they needed to be to survive. Huh. A week had nothing to do with anything until the marketplace existed. Huh. The marketplace didn't exist until the Sabbath happened on Saturday, right? So this is not saying, hey, everyone go read the Bible. This is just saying, hey, forget whether you believe the Bible, but the structure of Saturdays were times where the world kind of shut off for a bit back in ancient history. And then it restarted the next day, which caused the market to stop, which caused the week to exist. Ironically, the same as 7 days, which is creationism, if you believe in that as well. So there's a whole bunch of things that go around the week that we uncover in the book and explain why the week is extremely valuable, but is man-made. And because it's man-made, we can use it however we want. So the saying that I said, as you asked me a simple question, I went on and talked differently. The saying that I said was, you can't change your life in a week. However, if you change the weeks, you will change your life.
I love it. Okay.
So let's focus on the weeks. It's so funny. It's Friday. If you were to ask me what I'm doing next Monday, I literally don't have a clue, because I don't know what I'm doing on Monday until I plan my week on Sunday.
Gotcha.
And at that point, I'll plan everything. I can't even tell you how many times I've realized on Sunday I'm flying somewhere that week. Like, if I don't plan on Sunday, I wouldn't have packed for the flight on Monday. Right? Because... And it's not because I'm ignoring it. Jim asked if we have an audiobook. Yeah, we do have an audiobook. Audible.com. Motivate the Unmotivated is up. The Intentional Week is not up yet. But Jim, if you like the audiobook, let me know and I'll send you over a pre-release copy of the audiobook of Intentional Week once it's ready. So, that's the biggest thing when it comes to how I recognize what's happening on a weekly basis. And then I can just focus on what I need to do right now. There's no worry. There's very little stress. I'm just hitting what I need to do when I need to do it right away.
Huh. That's awesome. So you're able to just, I don't know, almost in a way compartmentalize those weeks. And like I said, you're not worried about what's happening over the course of a month or a year or whatever. You're like, okay, I focus on this week. Boom. I got that done. Chunk it into the next one. It's kind of a way to chunk it down a little bit, I guess, is possible. Okay.
And it's like, how do you eat an elephant one piece at a time? It's just, how do you finish a year? Like here's what I tell people: 52 weeks a year. You want to lose weight? Don't try to lose 20 pounds by February, right? Let's lose 20 pounds over the year and stay consistent forever, right? Like that's what we're trying to do. Consistent effort versus intense effort is what gets us where we need to go. And if we're doing a little bit every week, I mean, I always like when people are like, I just wish I read more. Okay, so what's your goal? I want to read 50 books. Okay, cool. Can you read a book a week? Well, yeah. Okay, so let's read a book a week. Let's listen to a book a week, right? We talked about Audible. That's a reasonable goal. But when you sit there and go, I want to read 50 books this year, how are you going to do that? We need to break it down in manageable steps so that we can take the actions to get the results that we need.
Nice. So Matt, when you talk about the week, you know, what would, so if you say, okay, but let's just look at a day, let's just take it one day at a time. Where does that trip you up though?
Because things happen, right? And that was my issue with every planning device. This is why we created our own, was it just wasn't robust enough. It couldn't handle life. Like I'd have my plan. Okay, so plan out every minute. All right, got it. Your internet's out.
Yeah.
Life changes. Okay, so now what am I going to do? I was supposed to do X, Y, and Z. Like I need another option to be able to move and be flexible and then take Tuesday and move it to Monday. And I basically take these 7 days and I move them where I need them in order to get what I need. And I do that with clients and I take your 7 days and I move them where they need to go. And I put what I call time chunks and time blocks, right? A time chunk is when you actually are setting a goal with a certain amount of time you're going to put towards it. When I'm writing a book, it will be 90-minute time chunks where I write and then I stop. You won't be able to get a hold of me. And then I'll have time buckets. And time buckets are things, this is all in the book on how we do this that's coming out. Time buckets are where it's, hey, on Tuesday from 11 o'clock until 12:30, I'm doing LP growth tasks. And then from 2 o'clock until 3, I'm doing LP maintenance tasks. And what that means is if you were a client of mine going, hey, I'd love for you to come into my company and teach our whole team. When can we talk? I know, hey, that's a growth task. That goes in this time bucket. So I already have predetermined when things happen. And if you call me and then 10 other people call me, I don't schedule them later in the day. I say, look, unfortunately, I can talk to you next Tuesday because that's when I do my growth, right? Or Monday when I do my growth. But once my growth is full, there's still maintenance that needs to happen in the business. And if I'm constantly growing, I will fall apart. And if I'm constantly maintaining it, I'll have nothing left to maintain. So having that balance is what I call time buckets. I do time buckets. I do time buckets with my kids. I'm spending this much time with Zach. I'm spending this much time with Natalie. I want to make sure I'm pre-planning it. So when things happen, twofold. Number one, I have time to do it. And number two is, let's say, Aaron, you're just a killer client and I need to make this work, right? You are the one that I need. You're going to take me to where I need to go, whatever it might be, whatever excuse it might be.
Sure.
Then I might need to take my time bucket that I'm going to spend with Natalie, which is normally, let's just say it's Tuesday nights, but you and I need to meet for dinner Tuesday night. This is back when like the world actually existed, right?
Yeah, when you could actually go to dinner. Yeah, I got it.
Right. I won't cancel that time with Natalie. I move it somewhere else in the week. It might be Thursday at 9 o'clock in the morning. And most people are like, well, that's a work hour. No, I work hours in the week, but I work them when I need to work them. So I can't even tell you how many times Marie and I have gone on breakfast dates.
That's awesome.
People are like, what do you mean? I'm like, no, like a 3-hour breakfast date. Like you would, if you were going to a nice restaurant and it's a lot cheaper. Right? Not as good alcohol, but right, look at you. Yeah.
Mimosas or something, right?
Right? But you understand what I'm saying? People are going, wait, so like I don't have to move things there? Like you don't have to have lunch at noon. You can eat breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack. Like you can eat throughout the day at different times. As long as you're consistently eating, your body's going to process the food the way it needs.
Yeah.
Same with your day. We've been forced into this 9-to-5 concept that all of us who are on this call who have either a side hustle or another business recognize that 9-to-5 concept is artificially made. And if we're not careful, our 9-to-5 becomes 9-to-9. And you're working 24 hours, even when you're sleeping, even when you're with your kids, even when you're watching a movie, you're thinking about what you need to be doing at work. And it is destructive and disastrous. That's why we use our system to create this intentional week. So I can intentionally go, I'm done for the day. Biggest issue big businesses have is I need to disconnect. Well, what are you doing to disconnect? Well, nothing. Where's your phone? Well, it's in my pocket. Well, then why don't you just move, give some distance?
Yeah.
It is a simple thing to do to disconnect. We are addicted and we don't want to.
Yeah. Awesome.
Sorry, you got me excited on that one.
No, I love it.
I don't even know what the question was.
I'm not sure I do either, but I don't think it matters. I think we probably not as good as what we got. So, all right. So, Matt, what is it that we've talked about a lot of different things, and you've recognized that we do have a, like you said, side hustles, maybe some people that do have, this is their full-time job, and it's quite a range, but most people are in that small business.
Yeah.
You know, where they're scratching and clawing and trying to grow here. Right. So like you said, if you've got a growth bucket, that's this and this and all that stuff, what happens when you get to that situation where I'm not able to fill up that growth bucket? You know, how do you get action out of people?
Yes. So if you're not able to fill up the growth bucket because you don't have inbounds coming through, right?
Yeah.
So let's say you're a client of mine. You're like, all right, I want to grow. What do I do? Part of growing is researching, knowing who you're selling to, knowing the product you're selling, getting good at the sales process, building your asset, which is your ability to sell. So if you're in that situation, like, I just don't have enough inbounds, it's okay, cool. Maybe you spend that time building a list. Go Google who it is that you want to work with. Go find out who it is you want to do, what you want to do, how you want to do it. I have a client right now. This is something that I will give away for free for everybody. I just gave this advice when I got off the, right before I got on this call right here. And he's in Canada. I don't know. Are you international or are you mostly?
Yeah, American? Yeah. Yep. In fact, we've got Gustav from Sweden checking in right now. I see.
Cool. Sweden, take it all you want. If you're in Canada, don't compete with my client unless you become a client. But here's what it is. He's a plumber. And as a plumber, we were talking and he's trying to find a way to increase sales. The problem is his plumbers are basically his salespeople, right? He's spending a ton of money on marketing. I mean, a lot of money on marketing. It's got great marketing material. And I said, well, what else could you do? He said, well, I said, how'd you build your business? He said, well, I use door knockers. I said, interesting. I said, so tell me a little bit about them. And he was doing really well. He'd go and he would set three to the right, three to the left, and three across the street every time he'd go to a house. And he'd get some inbound calls. So now what we're doing is we're going back to what worked. And he's going to give away stacks of his door knockers to his team. And he's giving them $50 per close, right? This is all part. He's doing our motivation management program. Okay. Along with a 90-day goal rush. So he's doing this, but the problem is this stack, he's given 200 at a time. If it closes a sale, he's going to pay the person who put that door knocker on $50. So he's like, well, you give him the stack, how do we know we're not going to throw him out? So what I did was I bought him $10,000 money wraps. So he wrapped it and he throws out $10,000 stacks, because that's a 200 times 50 is $10,000. So if they get those to close, that's $10,000 in their pockets. Now, granted, they're not going to do 100%, but it now brings value to this thing that they're doing right this second. So the next thing that we're doing, and this is the part that I said you all can steal, is he is offering, he said, hey, I was at your neighbor's house. I recognized there was something wrong at their place. I want to make sure there's nothing wrong at your place. Please call me, right? As a plumber, this makes sense. If something's built around the same time and I dealt with a leaky pipe here, you might need to do a leaky pipe there. Hey, Chris, what's going on, man? Good to see you. So, Chris, I got your Guinness Book of World Records thing right here from PodFest, man. So excited to see you. So anyway, so when we come into this, what we're doing with this plumber, which is why I'm so excited about it, is he's going to go in and offer a $49.99 home inspection to make sure the house is good. And that is going to be credit for whenever that homeowner needs his service. Now think about what he's doing there. He's going out and getting a $49.99 sale, right? So that's going to cover the cost of getting everything out there. Yeah. He's now going from being a plumber to being their plumber. That individual is now going to come to him because he owes him $49, right? To do whatever $10,000 job needs to be done. Plumbing is not cheap. So recognizing the fact that for all of you who are sitting there going, how do I just build that growth bucket? One way to do it is reach out to somebody, offer them a chance to help them with whatever it is they need in return, so that you have an ability to come back and become the person they need when they need it. If you're an embroiderer, right, and you're here and you sit there and go, hey, Matt, do you have any stuff you need for LP? I'm going to say, I don't have anything now. Just say, look, here's some thoughts. Whenever you're ready, just let me know. And we already have an account ready for you. And whenever you need it, just call me and I'll print it.
Yeah.
I'm going to reach out to you because I don't want to deal with the BS of going through figuring out. I don't want to even create my own account. You have it done for me. There's a higher likelihood I'm going to come to you versus go somewhere else.
Yeah. Because you've made it super easy for that to happen when they're ready for it, right? And then it's just, it's connected there. I mean, I guess in a way that almost might tie back into what we talked about with the unfinished tasks. Maybe you're putting that in the customer's head that that's an unfinished task. They now, quote unquote, owe you something, right?
And it's not, they'll remember it. Hey, what was that plumber's name again? What was that? Was it? Oh, it was that, right? Yeah. Todd said you have an HVAC team, did a similar thing, right? Exactly. So we're going through, Todd's, who's that guy? Oh, it was Todd something. They'll at least Google Todd something, right? Todd HVAC, hopefully Todd, you'll pop up, right? That's how this concept works, is stay fresh in their head so they're ready to go. So if you need to, the growth bucket is not actually just sales. It's growing the business. A growth bucket for me might be rebranding my website, right? We're rebranding our whole thing, redoing our whole website, everything, right? Used to be cool to be dark and black. Now it's cool to be light and clean, right? So we're rebranding everything. Yeah. And now what's happening is that is in my growth buckets when I do it, when I'm growing LP, because my website is a tool that's going to grow me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense.
That's what we work with our clients. We help them clear this stuff out and get their heads where they need to go.
Gotcha. Perfect. Wonderful. Wow. All right, Matt. So last question for you here. Yep. What did we miss? What have we missed as we talk about? I know we've covered a lot of different ground from different areas here, but specifically on intentionality, what did we miss there that maybe you can leave people with?
Okay. Consistency is key. All right. So if you jump on and you do our 90-day I-90 challenge, here's kind of how it works. Maybe this is what will be good. Yeah. We ask you to pick four. It's all free if you come through the website. Again, so there's no charge on it. If you go to lightpulsing.com/I-90, you can download it for free as well. Because I want people to start building intentionality in their life. That's what gets the success and the things that we need. So anyway, what's the things that we do? When you do this challenge, there's four tasks that you're going to do on a daily basis in what we call your four vital signs: internal, physical, relational, and professional. What's one simple task that doesn't need to be complex that you're going to do every day consistently for 90 days? Number two is you're going to make your bed every single day. You will be amazed how much better your day is if you started off by making your bed. Try it and call me out on it if it's not. Literally. Blow me up on social media and let everyone know that I'm a complete fraud. It is the craziest thing in the world. It's the simplest thing in the world that people don't do. And when you make it well. Yeah. Start your day with that. It takes 5 minutes, right? That's number one. And number three is you do that concept called PTT, plan today or plan tomorrow today. So at night, let me just kind of give this whole thing full circle. Okay. At night, you are going to plan the next day. When you wake up, you are going to make your bed. It's as simple as that. You're ending your day and starting your day the right way, which is allowing you to stay intentional throughout the rest of the day.
That's awesome. All right. That is fantastic. So Eric had it up on the screen there, but one more time, LifePulseInc.com/I-90 will get you right. That'll get you right place. And check that out. Anywhere else people should be checking you out, Matt?
Check us out on social media. Here's what I would say. We actually have a quick survey anybody can do to see if we are a good fit for you, right? And I want you guys, if you're listening to this, you can take it for two reasons. Number one, you can take it so that you can see if we're a good fit for you. And number two is you could take it to see how we capture people's information and we are now able to knowledgeably sell to people, right? So you go to lifepulseinc.com/let us help. Okay. And it's three questions that if you answer, my team will come through and we will actually customize a plan for you and get it back to you. Jim, thanks for buying the book, man. I really appreciate it. But like I said, make sure that. And then the other thing I would suggest, if you want to start building a life of intention, I said, make your bed. I said, plan your day the night before. And the following thing is consume 1 ounce of water for every pound you weigh. Does that make sense? So yeah. I drink a gallon a day. I have a quart water bottle that's upstairs right now that I drink, and I just fill it up four times. The reason I do it is every time I force myself to drink, I recognize why I'm doing it, and I'm reminded to do it. Drink water, and there you go. Drink water and get yourself hydrated, and as you do it, it will keep you reminded of what you're doing with this I-90 program. We've seen some crazy lives change quickly. And we can't wait to see if it helps you all as well. Again, all of this is free. Not a single thing I told you about costs a single thing. Outside the book, and Jim, I appreciate you buying it. But But yeah, we appreciate it. Aaron, I appreciate what you all are doing. And we definitely need you guys to keep working, keep going. Even if the internet's not in, we need two guys on this show.
Yeah, that's right. We need two regular guys hanging around. No, it's awesome. Thank you so much. And yeah, so the other thing, Matt, I ask of you is once that next book's out and ready, make sure you let us know about it, and we'll make sure we get it in front of the regulators here, because I think it'll help a lot of people.
Awesome. Well, hey, we appreciate what you're doing.
All right, Matt. Well, thanks so much for your time today, and we'll catch you again soon.
Fantastic. See you. Have a good one.
Awesome. Well, thanks very much to Matt for his time. Hopefully you guys got a lot out of that. I appreciate all the comments and all the regulators checking in. And someone needs a branded jug. There you go. There's an opportunity to decorate right there. Great idea, Eric. Thank you for sharing that. And Missy says, well, Aaron and Todd, I guess I need to update the goal for today. So Missy's talking about, she's part of our Masters of Success program over at our success group. And we check in each day to make sure that we're again, like Matt talked about, we're being intentional. We're working towards success. So awesome. Well, thanks very much to Matt for his time, and bummer that Terry couldn't be here with us, but you know, he was with us in spirit. Hopefully he still was able to check it out, or can go back and check it out. But we now are at our moment for bringing five things to the world here. And to do that, I'm going to enlist the help of our producer, and we'll get Eric in here. Eric, come on in and join us. Hit that button for yourself, please, sir.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Eric. Well, thank you for being here. So yeah, let's do five things. Let's do that.
Let's hear that jingle.
Yes.
All right, everybody, time to bring you five things. And today it is five ways to reduce the struggle when you're learning embroidery digitizing. I've got a lot of people who are learning, especially when they have downtime. And these are five things that are not in your software, not directly related to digitizing, that will help you when you're trying to learn. The first thing is learn operation first. What I mean is learn how to operate machines first. If you're somebody who's coming from a graphic arts background, especially, if you don't know how to run embroidery machines, you will not know how to control them or what you need to do. So it will be very hard for you to figure out which tools you need to be working with. Learn operation first, use a known good design from somebody who knows how to digitize, and understand how the machine works first. Number two, keep your machine in order. Digitizing can't change thread tension. Every time I see somebody having a tension issue and they're talking about, is it my file? Well, not likely, unless you're really packing in the density. So you make sure your machine's in good order. Learn how to maintain your machine first, because you will eliminate the machine as why you're having issues with your file as you're working. Third thing here. Number three, use quality materials. Don't skimp on the materials when you're testing. Stabilizer is not a dryer sheet, no matter how much it might look like one sometimes. Don't use things that are not embroidery materials when you're embroidering, because then you don't know if it's the materials that are causing you problems or your file. Make sure you're using quality materials. And yes, that even includes testing on real materials. Don't just test on stabilizer, because stabilizer will not act like the material you're stitching. Number four, analyze and reproduce. Find a file that you love from a digitizer you like. Heck, go grab one of mine that I've given out for free, or pay a couple bucks for something that you really love, and measure all the settings, measure the stitch length, measure the density, measure the fills, check the angle, and try and reproduce that file. I'm not saying copy people's files to sell them. I'm not saying do something sketchy. What I am saying is, this is how great artists start to copy the hand of someone who knows what they're doing. And once you do that, you'll be more familiar with your software and familiar with the settings and how they work. Oh. And number five, guys, start small. Simple, small victories will confirm your techniques and fire you up to keep going. Everybody has a big, crazy jacket back project that they want to do. Don't start with the big, crazy project. Do a smiley face, do an emoji, do some letters. Do something small first and work with that. Keep it to simple shapes and essential stitch combinations. Do a filled object with a satin stitch border on it. Do a letter and then run some straight stitch border on it. Put some detail over something. Simple combinations will show you how those stitches interact in the thread. So there are my five things, five ways to keep yourself from suffering when you're learning digitizing.
All right. I like it. Thank you so much for doing that, Eric. Regulators out there, this is, we're calling you out here. You guys, we need your five things. All right. We need your ideas. We need, you know, so again, Eric's shown you several different ways that you can bring us five things. You know, you can record something, you can jump on here with us and do it. You don't, you can be on camera with us if you'd like to do that. You can email it to us and we will read it for you. Whatever it takes to get the five things in here, you'll get full credit for it, the whole nine. It's just a good way to, again, get the conversation going. Let's, as an industry, we need to continue to have conversations about things. And, you know, we found that there's always five things to talk about. You get a topic and there's five things that you can pull out of it. And,
yeah, you know,
Eric gives you a great amount of, you know, information, but it could be five bits. You know, it could be five ways to reduce struggles when you are learning embroidery digitizing. Learn operations first, keep your machine in order, use quality materials, analyze and reproduce. So whatever's easiest for you.
Totally.
Get that to us. So
it could be your top five markets. It could be your top five places where t-shirts make sense. The top five things you've sold during the pandemic. I mean, the little things, five words might be enough for us to do. The five things that keep you going on your project. Really, it doesn't have to be the big stuff. You guys know that I use too many words for everything I do. So you don't have to produce something crazy. Yeah. Your list is good enough.
Exactly. Heck, it could be your five favorite, styles of coffee or whatever.
We will definitely read a coffee. So that's, if Eric has anything to do with it, we will talk coffee.
Your five favorite shirt brands or the five favorite materials to embroider or
why not? I mean, why not?
Five things you hate to embroider. How about that?
True. Yeah. Heck. And then what might happen is I'll come back on and tell you why you don't have to hate those things.
All right. See, there you go. And you're going to get answers from Eric. That's perfect.
Well, and on top of it, guys, a lot of this is about where you are at. There is something you have done or are doing that people want to know about. If you're just beginning, people would love to have your beginner mindset to understand where you're coming from. If you're an expert, people would love to pick your brain about stuff you've already learned. And at any stage you're at, you're newer than somebody so that you've got a different perspective. You've come from a different background and you are in the business longer than somebody else who would benefit from your experience at just about any stage. So share at any stage, come up with some five things and submit them in any way that makes you comfortable.
Yep, exactly. And Christine says, I'll come up with a couple of five things list for you. I have some ideas. So perfect.
Be awesome. Love to have them.
Bring them in. Goose has said earlier, book link, please. We'll get that.
Yeah, I've got it up earlier, but I will grab that again for you, sir.
Yeah, if you can do that and get that, appreciate that, Eric. So let's see here. So Eric, what's coming up? We talked about the take up again. Glad to have you here and congratulations on 50. This is awesome.
I love that. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I didn't really do like a celebration for 50. I didn't really think about anything. I'm going to try and celebrate 52. That's that one a week for a year kind of package. When we hit a year, which is a couple more shows, then I will celebrate for the 1 year anniversary.
Nice.
I'll tell you this, most of my audience is over on Facebook. You guys are mostly on Facebook, but I do have a YouTube audience now, which includes some people who I never expected to get. We're nearing that 1,000 subscriber limit. Awesome. I know, teeny tiny, but boy, that feels nice. Great. It feels nice to have people who are subscribed and checking every week. Nice. All right, so today, 2:30 Mountain Time, as you guys know, since we have the time zone wars here, Mountain Time, where it matters along the Rocky Mountain chain. Today it is applique anyway, applique methods with multiple toolkits. And really, I'm talking about why you don't have to have a laser bridge or something major to do applique. And even if you're going to sub out your applique, you're going to subcontract with somebody who has more automation, you can still sample in-house with nothing more than your embroidery machine and a decently sharp scissor. But we're going to talk a little bit about the techniques behind applique, different kind of appliques I've done in my career, and what I think it's good for. So it's an introductory talk. So if you want to just kind of get your feet wet, a little talk about applique with somebody who's not someone who's focused entirely on it in their career, definitely going to catch that today. And we'll have that both at facebook.com/eric.campbell or at YouTube. And you could also check out earlier in the comments, I had a link up from my webpage. You go to ericcampbell.com and there's right on the top bar says the take up, and you can get to all of my stuff on the playlist from there. The other thing I'll say is, yes, there's new webinar content coming. It's been a very tough couple weeks that has knocked me back. I'm not going to share my personal gripes, but let's say 2021 didn't just roll over and be great for me either. but there is new webinar content coming, new educational content coming, and you'll be hearing it here first. So do tune in. We'll be having more shows very much like we did Demystifying Next Level Digitizing, still available. But we will be doing more stuff like that coming up soon for the upgraded community.
Excellent. Well, we were talking in the mastermind group the other day, Eric, and there was definitely a lot of requests for patches. And I know you and I have talked about that.
Yep, definitely going to be on the block there. There's some other stuff I like to do too. We'll have to see how this works out, because the other thing I will say is, like, because of the way last year went, a lot of us who prepare a lot of material for the shows kind of only got to trot that material out a little bit. And it for us, we're like, the more people we can share this stuff, we think it's valuable, we wouldn't be sharing it. The more people we can share it with, the better. So we will be looking to find a way to get some of this material we've sweated over to get out to everybody. And I think that's where we can do that.
Well, I'll pull it all out of you, Eric. We'll make it happen.
You're good at that. Motivating the unmotivated, right? That's
right. So there was a book I read. There was a book I read about
There's
that.
A book. So, there's a book I heard about that.
Yeah, for sure. For me, I've got coming up tomorrow morning, Small Business Saturdays at 8 a.m. Central Time, the center of the universe time there. that is... So we've been talking, we go all over the place, but this week I get to talk about one of my favorite topics, customer service and being customer centric. So the title of this week's show over at Small Business Saturday is Don't Break the Chain. It's a kind of a popular blog post by a gentleman named Seth Godin. And actually started me on a pretty interesting direction in my career back in 2014. I was still working for a distributor back then, and just made me really rethink kind of customer service and customer experience and being customer centric and what that can mean for a business. So I'm looking forward to rehashing that and talking through that opportunity tomorrow morning, again, at 8 a.m. Central Time. You can check it out over at liveosg.com or on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rsuccessgrouppro. We've talked, I don't know if we talked, but next week we get started with the Impressions Connect events happening.
This is true.
And I think I can't remember exactly the time, but all of the education over there was pre-recorded, and so it looks like my first one is going to be happening on Monday, January 21st. It's a three-part. They've broken them into three-part series, and I'm going to talk about conquering fear and living to tell about it. So that's happening this next week, January 25th at impressionsconnect.com. Eric, you're presenting something, or at least one or two, right?
I do. I also have some stuff going on with 3D foam. So if you haven't seen my 3D foam stuff, yes. And a lot of these topics we teach over and over again, I've updated my 3D foam kind of talk. It's a shorter one, but has some good technical stuff about 3D foam involved. And there's also one on e-commerce. Like I said, I'm actually handling e-commerce from several angles. The blossoming of e-commerce that had to happen this last year means that a lot of people want to know how to get embroiderers on board with e-commerce. So you'll be seeing a lot of that from me at multiple shows this year.
Excellent. Excellent. But, check out Eric over there at Impressions Connect as well. And Terry's got a program happening I think his kicks off on Tuesday, the 26th. It's called Sportswear Garage, Starting a Home-Based Screen Printing Business. And so Terry will bring a lot of his knowledge and education to that opportunity to, how do we get that business kicked off, and what things do I need, and the list of products that you need to make sure that you have. And it's one thing to have a screen printing press, but what about all the other ancillary things that you need? So, that's happening for me then. And again, also Eric and Terry will be participating. We've got the DAX online virtual seminars happening in April, I think late March, early April timeframe.
Yeah.
I've got two presentations happening there, April 5th. And these will be unlike the Impressions Connect, where they're recorded, which, again, both formats are great. Really good, it just, take one or the other. With the DAX seminars, they're actually live, opportunity to do live. And then they are recorded as live versions, and you can catch them after the fact. So April 5th, I'm talking again about conquering fear and living to tell about it. And it's something that I really enjoy talking about, because a lot of times what we need to do for success are things that are outside of our comfort zone. But I've come to realize almost that always. Success is, yes, exactly.
Almost always.
Almost always. I've come to realize, though, that success is outside of your comfort zone. It's doing the things that are outside of your comfort zone. So until we can learn how to overcome those fears, we're not going to get to where we want to go. So we talk about how to do it. And then when we get into the live to tell about it part, it's like, okay, we've overcome the fear. Now, how do we actually get some value out of that step that we took to overcome the fear? So we turn it into the art of success. You know, Matt has his things that he says, I think he called his, it's totally escaped me, but I have a similar process that I call the art of success. So,
there's a lot of that resistance out there you have to fight. Like I said, it's been talked about by a ton of people, but I would love to check out your take on it too. I think that's the thing. Everybody has this take and you never know which one's going to jive with you, which kind of description is going to make the most sense to you. So well worth treading those boards again, because it's something that we're all dealing with.
Yeah, definitely. So I love that idea, Eric. You know, I mean, when I talk about Jack Canfield and stuff like that, and I realize that he's not everybody's cup of tea, but he resonated with me. Like I said, there's many, many people that speak about a lot of the same things, but nobody really connected to me until I heard his take on it, you know? So yeah, agreed. Go take in all of that information that you can and figure out who works.
That's the awesome thing about like you taking these topics out into the world. The other thing is people might love your take, even if you're talking about those prospects from Jack. I mean, then your take on it brings you to the party. It brings your experience to the party.
And so exactly.
I think that also is a good reason for everybody to share their five things. Remember, it's all having your perspective as part of that. That's value. That's not like, oh, it's only what I think. It's like, no, that's another brain we can add to that collective so we can get somewhere. Like, seriously. Yeah. Always good.
The rising tide raises all boats is true, and it's a rising tide comes from everybody, no matter where you're at in the journey. You know, we all have to participate in that. So, and then I like Gusta's comment here when we talked about, you know, getting outside of your comfort zone. No pressure, no diamonds. That's nice.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and I'll have to say that you would be surprised. Let's put it this way. You'll be surprised at the people who you consider successful who are still dealing with the same kind of pressures and feelings and discovery of what's, you know, outside of their comfort zone, the range, the resistance. There are people who you probably look up to, who you think are idealized versions of what you want to be, who are dealing with the same pressures and the same difficulties you are. Realize that we're all ducks, you know, we look calm over the water, but our feet are kicking underneath. Realize that that's happening for everybody. And the great thing is that we can all kind of share that process. And the more open we are about that, the more everybody gets ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, you can even tie that into what we talked about with Matt on the grass thing. You know, it's like, okay, you see something that you're like, oh man, I wish I could do that, or I wish I could have that, or whatever. And but then, you know, I love the fact that he brought that back around into the whole concept of, but are you willing to sacrifice what needs to sacrifice to get there? Is having green grass that important to you? You know, in his case, it was not. You know, in my case, I did want to participate in that, but doesn't make either of our decisions the right or wrong one.
No,
what it means is that we both chose what was a priority for us, and that's what's important. So figure out what's a priority for you.
What's always funny about that is when I talk about this with people, I talk about evolution, right? And people say, okay, evolution, they assume that we're making progress toward one goal, and that's what evolution does. And I'm like, no, when you talk about survival of the fittest, and this goes for concepts, for animals, for whatever you want to put in that border, what I'm going to say is you are fit for the situation you're talking about. If you decide your goals are different, there's a different thing that is fit for those goals. So the action you're doing has to be, it only has fitness, it only survives, it only evolves if it's good for the goals that you're going for, if it's good for the environment that it's in. So it's totally fine to say, like, you know what, grass isn't my bag. Or, yeah, if grass is my thing, well, then I'm going to have to change what I'm doing because I'm not fit for that goal. It doesn't mean that I'm not progressing or that I did the wrong thing earlier. It just means that the goals were different. The environment I was working toward getting a fit for was different. So it's totally fine. And I think the other thing to realize is sometimes you're pruning. Sometimes you're like, it isn't a goal I need. And this is a distraction from the main thing. And as much as I want whatever that is, whatever that grass is, it's actually not the thing that's feeding either my pocketbook or my soul. So, like one or the other, you got to be thinking about what is actually feeding you.
Yeah. So, I love it. That's great. Big time. Yeah. All right, Eric. Well, I think we've come to the close of another show here. So we want to thank Matt for joining us today, and make sure that you get over and check out Matt over at Life Pulse Inc. In fact, he left us a great link, the lifepulseinc.com/let us help. And Okay. Jeff just brought us another five things. Now, Jeff's going to be joining us on a show, so maybe he's going to have to also present the five things here. I like that. Top five things to say to offshore digitizers when they cold call you. So,
just don't, you don't have to be mean. I mean, I know some people like to make sport, but you can just, no. My favorite thing is like, you sure you don't want me to digitize for you? Because that's what I do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go.
You looking for another hand?
There you go. So top five things. Okay. I expect that to happen for sure. Jeff and Eric, between you two.
Come on, guys.
I can't remember the exact date that Jeff's going to join us, but I can't wait to get to Jeff's topic. He actually reached out to us through our Facebook page, and I think it's going to be a fantastic topic. We're not going to give it away right yet, but stay tuned for that. So,
link one last time since we were discussing it.
Thank you. LifePulseInc.com/let us help and fill out those three questions and see what you get. And I like, I also love his take on the fact that not only are you going to get some free resources from him, so you get that part of it as a quote unquote consumer. Yes, Jeff, February 5th. That's correct. You get his take on it. You get that as a consumer, but also make sure that you're paying attention to how he goes about, you know, when you send your information, what happens, you know, how's that look? Yeah. What's the look and feel at that point? And then what are you going to get behind that? You know, you need to figure that out for yourself. You know, when you get people in, what is it that you do to then market to them? When you get that new potential lead, you know, do they just come in and then they're, you know, every so often randomly, or is there actually a process and a plan? So anyhow,
every time I'm teaching e-commerce, but here's my giveaway for things I'm teaching.
Sure.
Hey guys, you are a customer. You have been a customer of an online site this week, this day, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know what customers like and want and need already intuitively. You can learn from any of this. Learn from other people's way that they collect data. Learn from how they answer people. And if you like how it turned out, think about how you can implement that yourself. I mean, and funny enough, we're talking about offshore digitizers. We've got Jim saying that they're a pain in, well, you know. Remember what they do and think, what is it that they do that is painful and upsetting that makes me not want to deal with them? And don't do it in your own business. There's something to be learned from everybody. Exactly. I do love how Matt brought that up and said, hey, learn from my you know, lead capture at the same time as you're learning from the content. So it's a real great way to handle things. And like I said, always be analyzing. It's always great to see what people are doing.
Nice, for sure. All right. Well, Eric, thank you so much for producing and making this happen and pushing all the buttons and for joining us here. We appreciate what you do every week for us. Eric, you don't happen to have what's coming up next week handy, do you?
I think I do. Next week, we'll welcome back Pete Loveless from Booster Spiritwear to talk about what's next for apparel businesses. And also remember, coming up this Monday, I'll be on with the boys, and we'll be wrapping up the 10 things we'd like to see in 2021. So Monday, January 25th, 8 p.m. Eastern time. So we're giving everybody a little bit of time zone love. We'll be wrapping up those 10 things since we only got to five in the show. Got into bonus time.
I don't know how that happens, but it does. All right, Eric. Well, so I'll take it from here. So, right. Eric, you are Eric Campbell. I am Aaron Montgomery. The spotty guy at the beginning of the show was Terry Combs. And loosely, roughly, we make up the two regular guys. So thanks for being here, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Here we go. We're out.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.